haven't seen that either, and it's not first of
Randy Shave, the 24th of January, 2011. Well, thank you for seeing me.
Sure thing. Thanks for coming to the party the other night. Appreciate
it. I enjoyed it. Yeah. It's always good to get around, you know.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I've been reading your stuff on, you know, for a long time, and I'm a friend of Rebecca, so it's nice
yeah,
to
get to
really put
you
together.
Yeah, I know. She really appreciates the support so that you and Laura particularly give
yeah.
her.
Yeah. Well, we like to do
yeah.
that.
As I said, my email request in the interview, I'm developing a story about the working relationships among the mayor and his council members and how the city council works together to develop public policies. One thing that stands out in my mind is that the four members, including you, keep your calendars online and by posting your calendar, you know, so you're being pretty transparent. You mentioned at your event the other night that you thought you were the first one.
Oh, yeah, I was.
So I went back and looked, and you and whoever got elected the same year you did, that would have been Chris, because he's running for re-election.
No, actually, Laura and I both got elected. We were both asked to do it, and I did it about 6 months before her. But, yeah, we both
okay.
did it. Yeah, we both did it.
Well, I think she might have went back and updated. But anyway, don't follow that.
What do you say?
I said, I think she must have went back and updated because I just looked at them. And your first entry was in June 15th for your swearing in. That was the only June entry. Then.
Well, yeah, because mine's in Google. But, I mean, she went ahead and put back dates. I
well, that's what I'm
yeah,
saying.
Yeah.
Okay.
But who put theirs up first was me.
Well, I don't know.
And then I went forward. I mean, I didn't go backwards. And I just, but, yeah, I got mine up within the first few months.
I got you
months.
Now.
Yeah.
Okay. Don't want to cheat you out of your
okay.
credit there.
Yeah.
Well, something that caught my eye in the published calendars is it indicates the mayor and council members spend a considerable time with each other,
mm-hmm.
Meeting, typically in the days right before a council meeting. It seems all of you are making a big effort, you know, to do that. So I was wondering, what sort of things do you discuss in these
Thank
meetings?
Thank you so much. I'm good, thanks. I guess when I got onto the council, that was sort of the custom. Was
is that your lunch?
Yeah, but it's okay. Don't worry about it. I'll get to it in a minute. No worries. It was all right. I want to make sure we get through your questions. I think when I got here, it was kind of a custom that those were already built in. So basically, it wasn't anything that I, you know, I mean, pretty much you have one-on-ones to go over, you know, what might be coming up on the agenda, what questions you might have about, you know, policy things you might be working on. It's a way to touch base with each of your colleagues on a one-on-one basis. Just likewise, I have a one-on-one every week with the city manager as well.
Yeah, I noticed.
And all those things
you.
Were kind of built into the system. Like, in other words, place four and place three, you know, had their one-on-one at a certain time. So I pretty much just inherited probably what my predecessor had in the way of one-on-ones. And I've never really looked back at sort of what the history of those are.
Well, like, they may not have been online. I don't know. No. If your predecessor did.
Oh, yeah, no. I'm not saying that nobody had their calendars online till we did.
Right, okay.
But what I'm saying is that it's always been, anytime anybody does an open records request for calendars, which they have done, you know,
oh, right,
people
right.
have provided
well,
that.
I know that they're public.
And
records.
I'm just saying that my point was that it has been the custom as long as I've been here. When I got here, the person who's my admin was Raul Alvarez's admin. The one-on-one meetings were scheduled. So pretty much when I got here, I knew that the mayor pro tem wanted, well, he wasn't the mayor pro tem, but you had, everybody's calendars were built in. So Betty Dunkerley retired, but there was a spot already on Lee's calendar for a one-on-one with Betty, which now became a one-on-one with Laura. I mean, when he was a place one council member. So my point was just that it seems to have been the custom for quite some time. When I got here, that was just the way it was. You got a one-on-one every week with the city manager, and you had a one-on-one built into your calendar.
Okay.
Every week with your colleagues, and it's been going on for as long as I can imagine.
Well, that's one of the things I'm interested in. Just how far back does this go? What are y'all trying to accomplish in these round robin meetings?
Well, I don't consider them round robin. What does that mean? What is round?
Well,
robin
round
mean?
Robin. I don't know if the term is too vague. You're by the time you come to the council meeting. Barring no other big commitments, I sense that mostly everybody meets with everybody else before, you know, during the week of the council meeting. I mean, that's pretty much the habit. In other words, you have a one-on-one with all the council members and with the mayor, although later the system with the mayor seemed to have been changed to two council members. With
the mayor. There's lots of times where there might be one or two of us involved in a briefing. But, you know, there's open, we can't do, we can't have quorums and we can't have.
Oh, sure.
So, you know, it's not like, I mean, so you have briefings. Like when I got here, Laura and I got briefed quite a bit in the beginning, the two of us together frequently. We weren't doing business, we were being briefed together on a number of items. You know, how the Homeland Security Office works, how Public Health Committee would,
right.
You know, they just, you know, I mean, it's sort of, I don't know, like in any job I've ever had, whoever you're working with in a team, you have one-on-ones. That's just the phrase that people use to meet with, you know, touch base and meet with the people with whom you do work.
Okay.
It's really just, you know, like I have one-on-ones with each of my staff members too. So
sure.
I mean, I meet with Marty to talk about what do we got to get done this week,
mm-hmm.
what's going on in life, you know, whatever we might be talking about that affects how we might get our job done. You know, it's more focused on invitations and scheduling when I'm meeting with Elaine. When I'm meeting with each of my individual council colleagues, it really depends on what projects we might be trying to accomplish. So I have an interest, for instance, in a particular initiative. I mean, like, you know, we were just talking a minute ago about Austin Independent Business Alliance and Rebecca's role in that. Well, I mean, Laura and I both have more of an interest probably in local business stuff than maybe some of our colleagues. So we might talk about, well, what could we do at some point? It's how you brainstorm. You don't just look at the agenda, although there is definitely that. You might ask a colleague, why did you put XYZ on this, you know, you have this item from council, can you tell me a little bit about it? Most items have at least two people on the item, but sometimes three, so you might ask the co-sponsors, what do they know about the issue, that sort of thing.
Right.
But I think the only way to do, you know, business is to have some sort of opportunity to check in with people. Again, you know, whether they're council colleagues or other staff members that I work with.
Okay. Are these meetings generally completely private, just the office holders, or do aides sometimes sit in?
Sometimes I have aides, depends on what the topic is. But yeah, like if there's an aide who's been working on something specific, then yeah. You know, like something where, like I'm trying to think of an example, but, you know, where we were talking about how could we, you know, would there be some sort of an item or that council could bring forward that would give neighborhood planning contact teams standing? So we had a couple aides who were doing more research on it, so, you know, they would come and talk to me about that.
Okay. Do you personally take notes when you're attending these meetings?
Not usually. I'm not really I don't have a great system for it.
Do these private discussions help you make up your mind about a position that you will take on things you discuss?
It depends. I mean, I think, you know, when you make tough decisions, there's all kinds of inputs that affect your decision-making. And sometimes a colleague might suggest that I read a particular piece of communication that I might not have missed, you know, might not have paid as much attention to, tell me what things they've read or studied on a particular matter. I think, you know, I'll call him Professor Spellman, but there's a lot of times where he has good suggestions of where I might be able to learn about issues of, you know, in the public sector that I wouldn't have, you know, I don't have the kind of educational background.
Who does that for you?
Like Spellman, you know,
okay.
I mean, he might
say,
oh, here's a web link you can go to find out about blah, blah, blah. I mean,
yeah.
He's, you know, I don't have a public affairs degree or background, but a lot of times a colleague will ask me. I mean, I've talked to, for instance, there's been times where Mike Martinez has talked to me about change issues that they're dealing with at Cap Metro, which, you know, and I might suggest to him, here's some articles that I've read or some, you know, things that I've used and, you know, that have been helpful. It's not really specific decision-making. It's more about how can you learn more about a topic. And I find that my colleagues, because we all have pretty different backgrounds, have usually interesting ideas about where I might learn more about about a particular topic. I mean,
okay.
You know, Chris has got a legal background. Obviously, Spellman has a strong public affairs background. Laura's got... I mean, she's got all kinds of access to like resource allocation issues. Yeah, I do too.
You run
companies, founded companies. Yeah,
you know.
And so people ask me a lot about stuff that they think I can. I think that's what's great about this. We're actually a fairly balanced, you know, it feels to me like a pretty balanced group of people.
Yeah, you have a good spectrum of skills.
Yeah.
Do these meetings give you a good understanding of what other council members think about the issues you discuss? In other words, do you get a sense of their mind?
It totally varies. I mean, it varies from topic to topic and from...
Okay.
You're still bleeding up us the bathroom.
Do you generally reach a meeting of the minds or agreement about where all the council members stand on issues you have discussed, except for Water Treatment Plant 3?
I love how you call it Water Treatment Plant 3. Not enough people do.
Four. I said, I've got four written down. I know what it is.
But it is really the third. Because we closed one. It's just kind of funny.
Yeah, okay, and so, it is now. But
it is, well, it, you know, and that's what it's kind of been an issue.
You probably don't renumber them. I don't know which number we
you don't renumber.
You closed the green, right?
Which I don't know
which is probably number one. I mean, it's right in the center of the city.
And it was, it was the oldest.
But you can't make this one number one.
No, you can't replace it. Yeah, we should have water treatment plants like places on city council, like they're place one, place four.
Well, I'm just saying, do you reach or a meeting in the minds on issues that you discuss? Like you were talking about, you're educating each other about these topics, and you may have your differences from time to time, but in the educational process, I would assume that you're...
It really depends on the issue, because like the example you gave, water treatment plant. I mean, I think there was definitely a period of time where, you know, you had no idea who was going to vote how. We had a whole, I mean, on that particular issue, we had a number of, I mean, we had over 500 people at Palmer.
I was there.
I had asked for a town hall because I think that, but if you ask colleagues that were on the council in earlier times for the discussion of water treatment plant, I mean, they had a lot of a running start, whereas I felt like Laura and I especially
that
came in.
That thing's been in the works for 25 years.
So, I mean, we felt the need to have more information. But, I mean, I spent a lot of 2009 meeting with all kinds of constituency groups and talking to people, and occasionally would ask a colleague a question about, well, did you, you know, look at XYZ related to that? But, you know, until we really, you know, got to that meeting, I don't think that it was very clear what people were necessarily going to do and why they would be doing it and what the rationale was going to be. I think certainly we've had other issues like that where you don't know. But then after that vote, I mean, subsequently, I think it's pretty, you kind of know where we're going to fall out on most of those items. I mean, unless somebody's mind is persuaded with some new information, and most of the speakers acknowledge that. So, I mean, we have multiple items to vote on. Acknowledge that fact. Most of the speakers acknowledge that fact on the water treatment plant issues. It was commonly talked about at December 16th at our meeting. You know, if anybody would switch their mind. I mean, they know. I mean, yeah, you know, and I don't feel. Again, you know, that's a very unique. I mean, I can't think of very many others like that where we've had multiple presentations and multiple meetings and several votes that would, you know, be suggestive of how people would likely vote. I mean, on, you know, several of the most contentious zoning cases, I think that, you know, several of the most contentious...
Oh, we're hearing it.
Okay, sorry, zoning cases. On zoning cases, I mean, you don't know how that's...
Zoning cases, yeah.
You know, you don't... A lot of, oh, yeah, no, zoning cases. I mean, it's a lot of times... I have no preconceived idea about a particular situation and wait to hear the facts. But in many instances, I've already watched the Planning Commission's meeting on the topic or the ZAP meeting on the topic. I mean, I have a lot of ideas before I get to the meeting. It really varies from case to case. But I think, you know, the vast majority of issues that are in front of us on any given week, I mean, you study them that week and you get all the backup that you can. You might touch base with your colleagues during your one-on-ones to ask for their perspective, but you really don't know what's going to happen until you get to the meeting. You can know enough, you know, people know enough about our voting records that can sort of suggest how people might vote in instances. I mean, I don't think that I'm trying to think of an example of... one of the more, I think of what's another example of where we really don't know what's going to, I mean, especially when you have the opportunity to have first reading and and on zoning cases, you don't do them in one, you usually have first reading and then a second and a third reading. And so a lot of times the votes are actually, when somebody makes a vote, they declare, I'm voting in favor of this on the first reading, but that's with the hope and intention that the parties will get together and figure out a way to resolve this, because I will not vote for it on second and third reading, okay, if these matters are not addressed. So you do see cases like that. And a lot of times we will, as a council, each of us individually, I've seen us do this from the dais, use the space between the first reading and the second and third reading to really get the parties to come to a better conclusion.
Yeah, quit fighting, make up.
Yeah, so we'll use that. But
bring us something we can vote on without making enemies.
Yeah, yeah. But that's kind of, you know, how we... okay. How we do things.
That's fair enough.
Mm-hmm. And every once in a while, you know, you'll be on the dais and a colleague will whisper and say, you know, hey, you know, here's, you know, I'll make this motion and then you'll back down, or, you know, because that's the other thing is a lot of times people want to make a motion or take the lead on something because they've been more involved. And I don't necessarily know which case that might be appropriate for, but,
oh, of course,
you know, that happens,
okay,
too. There's a little bit of a weird dance that goes on, but... somehow,
well,
we make it work.
Yeah,
you know?
7 months.
Yeah.
Do other council members pretty much maintain their positions as expressed in these meetings, or do they sometimes vote differently than you thought they would?
Oh, I definitely have had many experiences where you're tossing around an idea, and I think a council member is going to vote one way, and they vote a different way. Yeah, I don't consider any real, you know, I don't view those meetings as much as like people making commitments, as much as it is, you know, again, sharing their approach to how they might view a case, what information, who they might have met with to get the perspective. I mean, that's what I'm looking for in the one-on-ones. And again, each case, each item is somewhat different. But the other thing is that I get new information as I continue to talk to people, not just my colleagues, but also staff members who might be involved with an issue, or constituents who are coming in to see me about an issue. And frankly, a lot of times, right up until the day before the meeting, we have other boards and commissions that might be meeting where their input is also,
oh, yeah,
part of the equation. So it's not uncommon for me to get an agenda. You know, we see that on a Friday. And then by the time, you know, a commission meets on the Wednesday night before our Thursday meeting, you know, something's changed in terms of my opinion, or certainly any of my colleagues' opinions can be changed based on that.
Yeah. Okay.
Or a lot of times, again, with the planning, especially with the zoning cases, the planning commission, what happens on Tuesday night, so like today I'm going to have a one-on-one with Mayor Pro Tem Martinez. So we'll talk about what, you know, whatever we end up talking about. But between now and the time I get to Thursday, there are going to be several issues on this agenda that will have had action taken as a result of what the Planning Commission does or the Design Commission does or so on. So, you know, I think there's, you know,
yeah,
I wish sometimes I'd meet with him on Wednesday instead of on Monday. But, you know, just it happens when it happens. I may not be informed on an issue before.
You can't all meet each other the same day, probably.
No, and that's why we build them into
the
schedule.
The doors on City,
yeah,
Hall.
And that's why we build in the schedule. I mean, you know, so that.
Well,
Mike
Martinez said, I interviewed him last Thursday, and he said it's rare that someone votes differently than was understood in these one-on-one meetings. He seemed pretty, frank about that. I mean,
yeah.
How should I, you know? I don't want. I mean, you know, we had a nice calm discussion, but he seemed convinced that that's pretty much the way it was. You know, rarely somebody would change your vote. You know, from what in term, I don't mean that you voted in private meetings. I mean that he had a meeting with someone and
they say they're going to vote one way and then they change.
I don't know if they say they vote or whether he just had the impression. You know, I didn't actually ask him that. He just said that he thought it was rare that between the time he met with somebody in the council meeting that he would find them voting differently than I guess he thought he would. I'm putting words in his mouth,
yeah,
and trying to express.
Well, he may have different experiences with the people that he meets with, and he may not. I don't know that he meets with everybody. Does he meet with each council member too?
I think
most of us try to meet with everybody.
I think everybody makes the rounds of bases.
Well, there's a lot of times where I don't have a sense for how somebody's, and maybe we're just having different discussions in our
maybe
meetings.
Maybe he's been around longer than you have.
Well, that's true.
or he may be
reading, you know, more into stuff than I am. I mean, I can try to, you know, again, there's certain things where you just, you know certain items there's just, I mean, again, if it's, you know, at this point, you can pretty much guess without us even talking about it that you're going to have a 4-3 vote on the water treatment plant stuff, because we figured that out. Yeah,
set in concrete.
You can tell that you know, if it has to do with amending the waterfront overlay, that chances are, I can guess that most of the times, some people are going to be more open to looking at what the particulars of a proposal
are. The PUD down
there? Like that one. I mean, that PUD, that's on my mind right now. I mean, by the time we got to the meeting, I was not surprised that Laura was going to vote against it. For, you know, I expected that.
Well, she's out of the neighborhood movement.
You know, I expected that. So, but that didn't, but I really honestly did not know how others would, you know, I did not know that. I mean, I could kind of guess, but one day I think one thing, one day I think another thing. You know, I mean, if I just am thinking about what's most recent. So,
okay.
You know, but if I meet with, I will say this though, if I meet with somebody and I give them an impression like I'm leaning this way or I think this, and then I think I might have got some new information that would change my mind, I will let them know. I mean, I would let a colleague know that, you know, I got some new information, and so I'll have to be extra sensitive to that with Mike, because I wouldn't want him to think I'm going to do something and then not end up doing it. You know, my words about as good, you know, that's that, you know, you kind of got to trust people.
Well, you brought that up. Yeah. The mayor brought it up, and it's your kickoff.
Yeah. I mean, trust is important.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, it is. Chris Riley said to someone else, and I confronted him with it this morning, and he sort of waffled on it.
Really.
He didn't want to tell the press what he told somebody else.
Okay.
But he said that we already know how we're going to vote on Thursday, except Bill Spellman is sometimes a wild card. Does that ring true to you at all?
Yeah. Well, I, you know, definitely Bill has an interesting way of looking at things, and so you never know exactly what he's going to do.
Now,
and I think some people are more political, so they might be more influenced by, you know, who shows up and what they might, you know, might see. But I, you know, I do think that on the really big things that all of us are very deliberative, and so I think that we've, and I think all of us are inclined to meet with and talk to as many people as we can about an issue. So I think Chris is right that I mean, like Chris and I have talked before about how much more likely we are to read emails than some of our colleagues. And we really do. I mean, they come in on my PDA, and I read them a lot during the night. I don't respond to as many of them as I always want to. And we get, you know, petitioned, like nowadays with email, you can literally get, you know, 1,000 emails on a particular topic. But Chris and I have talked about how we really do. And Mike is another one. Mike Martinez, I mean, I don't know how he reads and responds to all that he does. There's just not enough time.
And he also tweets a lot.
He does.
I haven't.
Yeah, and he's on Facebook. So he's, I mean, the amounts of input that you have now nowadays for, it's almost, you know, you can be on overload. But,
I know
that some people don't. You know, they can just tunnel vision, and, you know, so everybody's influenced by different things.
Nobody can make you read it, right? It lands in your inbox.
I mean, I feel like, you know, it's really frustrating, because there's some times where now there's these websites where people put a petition out there. It's not even factually correct, and we'll literally get, you know, hundreds of emails. Like, lately there's been a bunch about sharpshooters in Northwest Austin, as if the city council... I mean, I've said that on K-View. I mean, There's no proposal in front of the city council at this point, and I can't imagine there being the votes for having sharpshooters in Northwest Hills. Can't see it. But
Bigfoot's scheduled to come in.
Yeah, but we get thousands of emails now, and so there's no, you know, so again, you get, but everybody's influenced differently, so... I think that's the other thing that's important for constituents to recognize. There's all different ways to kind of get the message to us prior to votes. And sometimes I think the people who speak on too many issues, you know, it becomes just, you know, again, natural instinct for, you know, people to not take
it. Sure, you have the gadflies. You always have had.
Yeah.
I covered this council, this council, but within fact, I covered every council meeting and work session for 5 years and most of the boards and commissions.
So you kind
of
knew the group.
And all that. And,
okay, be right there. Sorry. Thanks.
So I'm real familiar with the gadflies.
Well, so again, said, I don't mind the gadflies on one topic, like the people who come every week on fluoride. I mean, they come every week and they say the same thing.
Right.
But if the fluoride people start talking about deer and about water treatment plant 4 and about, you know, then it starts to get kind of confusing. So we do have some people where they'll just sign up to speak on any issue, no matter what the issue, and then it's hard to take them that as seriously as they would want to. That's what I meant. Yeah. I mean, like, we have one guy I can think of that he literally comes to every meeting and he looks to see, what do I want to sign up for today? And so he ends up not getting as much
cheap entertainment.
Yeah, he doesn't get as much, you know.
And he gets on TV.
Yeah, he does. He gets on TV. But I don't know that we're going to be swayed by his perspective on something the way that somebody who shows up and says, you know, I never come out and speak on something, but, you know, I'm so moved to do that because of X, Y, and Z. You know,
this credibility is hurting. Credit. When you get to the council meetings and listen to what citizens are saying mm-hmm. on the issues that you previously discussed in these private meetings, do you sometimes hear new information that changes your mind? I mean, what I guess I'm saying is you have done all this due diligence. You've got the Board and Commission input. You've talked to each other. You've got staff input. You've done a heck of a lot of research on anything that you're, you know, knowledgeable about or particularly interested in, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And then Joe Citizen or Jane Smith shows up. Do you ever hear anything that, that makes you change your position
absolutely.
At that late point in the
it
process?
It absolutely can happen, and it does. And the way you ask that question makes it seem as if the one-on-ones in these private meetings, like, that's the most influential. It's one of the less influential. I mean, your question didn't acknowledge the board and commission meetings, often which I can watch, you know, I watch them on my computer a lot, and the sort of emails and so forth and the dialogue that's happening. I mean, read me the question as you asked it, because you make it seem
when
like
you get
the
to the council meetings and listen to what citizens are saying about the issues you previously discussed. In these private meetings, do you sometimes hear new information that causes you to change your position?
Right, but I think that suggests
I got your answer. Okay. You said there's a lot more than these one-on-ones going on, basically.
Yeah, they're usually the so typically, I mean, again, a one-on-one, I see it as a touch base and get more information, but it's just one data point among many. My aides are talking to the other aides to learn more about things, the boards and commissions meetings are happening and so forth. And even still, a citizen might show up that will bring up something that we haven't heard before. Absolutely. It happens. And a lot of times the issues that citizens will show up and really, you know, they may not even be something that ever rose to be a topic. I mean, they were on the consent agenda and a speaker shows up to pull it off the consent agenda.
Right.
And they may not have been something that I ever talked about in any one-on-one with any aide or any council member. That happens often.
Right.
I mean, I can think of plenty of times when that's happened.
Okay, I'm sure it does. Like when Rebecca shows up to speak about whatever it was at the council meeting, and Rosie over in Small Business Development Program gets panicky because it was a consent item, and she was wondering what was wrong. She runs over here thinking her pants are on fire. Laura had encouraged her to sign up.
Yeah.
And so she didn't intend to speak.
But yeah, it creates all that. But a lot of times what will happen is, in that kind of a situation, we'll end up pulling the item and postponing it because we don't have enough data, or somebody will raise an issue. I've seen that happen.
Oh, sure.
I think on that one even, I feel like that we had to, something that was happening with the UT training, it might not have been Rebecca's issue. It might have been something that the African-American contractors were dealing with. But anyway, it definitely happens.
Oh, I'm sure it does.
Yeah, definitely
happens. Mm-hmm. Sometime around mid-year 2010, mm-hmm. meetings with the mayor were changed from one-on-one to pairing two council members to meet with Lee.
Mm-hmm.
Why were the council members paired?
Why what?
Why were the council members paired up to meet with Lee, whereas used to be it was one-on-one with the mayor?
I don't know. But I've actually been fine with that. It's from a time-saving standpoint and from a building rapport with... I assume it means that Lee has fewer meetings, and I appreciate the opportunity to...
Well, I don't see that it's... Well, it might be fewer number of meetings, mm-hmm. but the time spent on them, if he's taken each mm-hmm. seven council members, instead of spending a half hour with each, he's pairing them up and spending 1 hour with two council members, then the total time consumption, you know, there's going to be a Well, it'd be 3 hours, wouldn't it?
I think any
time. 2 times 3 would be 6.
Yeah.
Well, it's going to be the same 3 hours no matter how you cut it.
Yeah. I mean, again, since we're not, you know, making decisions or doing any business, I appreciate it because when you're trying to ask questions or get information, you know, the questions that a colleague might ask are ones that I hadn't thought of. So I appreciate it.
So you said, I asked you why it was changed, and you said, I don't know.
I don't know.
Was it the mayor's idea? Did it come, I mean...
I have no idea.
The stuff rolled downhill, and somebody said the mayor wants to meet 2-on-1?
I have no idea. I mean...
Okay. Is it necessary for the mayor to have council members reach a consensus on issues before council meetings?
No.
I mean, do you feel like that's maybe why he's having 2-on-1 or anything? I mean,
no.
You know, it's easier. I don't know. I shouldn't say easier. Oh, those are nice.
Thank you. And my kids.
Is that the boy that was sick this morning?
Mm-hmm.
That's cool.
The one and only.
So, no, you don't feel he feels that he needs to reach consensus with the council members?
No.
Okay. When you meet with him, with the mayor, is Mark Nathan there?
No, sometimes, not always.
Sometimes.
Okay. Yeah. I think sometimes he's been there, but not always.
I'm getting down to the last one.
Okay, good, because I got through that.
You give long answers, so it uses time. But that's okay. That's what it's about. I have to tell you that in looking at all this, because of all these private meetings, I get the feeling there's some orchestration going on, you know, of what's going to happen at the council meeting. I mean, no matter how benign the idea is, you know, you want to exchange information, you want to get to know each other, your teamwork building, all those good things that are being accomplished here. But because y'all are privately discussing these things on a regular basis right before the council meetings, it gives a feeling
that there's
an organization.
They're not right before the council meetings. They're every week. I mean, I have meetings with people on, I do one-on-ones in non-council meeting weeks. I mean, but, okay.
Well, I'm asking you, do you feel like it's orchestrated?
No.
Okay.
I mean, I don't. I think it's...
Well, I'm not trying to persuade you.
I think it's like in any kind of a work environment, it's good to touch base with the people with whom you're trying to make things happen. You have to develop relationships. You have to have a better understanding of where they're coming from. And we're not making decisions that aren't, And I think it's especially hard in our committees because I think it's fine on the council agenda because, you know, one-on-one is not any kind of we're not violating anything. But when you get to trying to solve a problem, like the one that comes most to mind for me is the Public Health Committee, which I chair.
Uh-huh.
You know, we want to move the ball on some things. And sometimes you don't even know how to approach or attack a problem. And I can't have a conversation about that with Laura, for instance, without violating the open meetings. We have to do that, you know, because we're a quorum, she and I, of the Public Health Subcommittee.
Oh, I gotcha.
You know, and that's the same thing. So I think that a lot of work gets done in committees, and that's the place where you can see us really deliberating in public on issues, but when our committee's vetted something, that's, you know, and we come up with a recommendation like we just did with social service contracts, I mean, by the time it gets to council, three of us have really, you know, looked at it, and that's helpful to our colleagues.
Wait a second, I got lost. Okay,
you know, there's three people on each of the committees, except for audit and finance is five of us, but I mean, you know, a lot of the work's being done there, so it's not like the council meeting is, you know, you're very fixated on this once a week, everything's orchestrated. I mean,
well,
a lot of the stuff is happening on committees and boards and commissions.
That's because that's when the public comes in.
No, the public comes in, you know, you said you covered them all. I mean, we have 50,
I didn't cover a lot of the subcommittees,
but
I mean,
some of
them.
I mean, there's a ton of people who show up at our public health subcommittees. We have animal updates.
Never covered that one.
Okay, well,
I don't doubt that.
But they're covered.
I don't doubt that.
Fact,
I never got involved in the CAN.
Well, right. But so I'm just saying, like, so two of us are at CAN every, you know, once a month on a Friday.
Right.
So it's really helpful to, you know, I mean, boards and commissions are one thing that are always on that are televised, but the Public Health Subcommittee and the Emerging Tech Committees, they're all, and absolutely there's public. I mean, I think one of the challenges is that there's so much to keep up with. But, you know, by the time you get to the council meeting, to suggest that one-on-ones with council members is causing this orchestration is a really kind of...
It's narrow.
It's so narrow, it looks like you've already written your story. And I'm just telling you that to me, the orchestration that you're talking about is not, it's not really, I don't even like the word orchestration. There is so much deliberation on many of these items before it ever gets to the council meeting. So if that's the way it looks to the public, well, were they at the committee meeting when this item came from council? Like, one of the things I've thought about before is that we shouldn't even have, I've been talking about having items from council, which is a section of a lot of times items from council are coming from a committee's recommendation, but a lot of times they're not. It's just two or three council members who get together and bring an item forward. I think it might be helpful, especially on, again, the more complicated things, that they come from a committee. I mean, our it's the Meeby Weeby, which I'm not supposed to call it that, but the Minority Women Enterprise, Small Business Enterprise Subcommittee. We do a lot at the local.
WBE, yeah. Covered the hell out of that.
But we do a ton at that level. I mean, and a lot of discussion. So by the time it comes as an item on the council agenda,
you ever get Carol Hadnot?
Oh, of course, they're all still. No, we never get. We can't have them all happy.
You didn't
all the time.
Let me finish the question.
Yeah. No, I thought you had. Do we ever get them coming? Yes, they're there all the time. But do we make them happy every time? No. But I mean, again, I can't possibly know about every issue. So I appreciate the fact that, you know, the comprehensive plan and land use stuff. A lot of it's already being vetted by that committee.
Sure.
You know, I check in with people who serve on the task force, and I get a lot of information. So by the time an item comes, you know, it's, again, the one-on-one is like one tiny piece of what I'm getting. But, yeah, the subcommittees, the boards and commissions, and the people who are involved in all those at all those levels, to not talk about that and only talk about, you know, the mayor's one-on-ones is just...
Well, it's not just mayors, it's everybody's.
Well, no, I mean mayors and our private meetings that you're talking about.
The private meetings, that's what it is.
Is just such as you said, very narrow.
There's a reason for my interest, but anyway.
Why? What is your reason? I mean,
well,
I'm curious. What is your reason?
I'm getting down to that. That's my last question.
Okay.
Have you ever had second thoughts about engaging in these kinds of private meetings among council members to discuss public business? Ever objected to them or refused to meet? You inherited the process.
Mm-hmm.
So, de facto, you have to assume everything's okay, right? So you go along with the program. You show up and it's on your calendar.
I definitely did, but I think there's not enough of those opportunities for us to work together as a team and to get to know one another. So, I mean, when people think that the council is dysfunctional, I mean, the way to make it functional is again, the better, you know, the more we know each other, the more we understand each other's perspectives, the easier it is to work out better answers for the public. So, I mean, I don't have we show up at each other's, you know, kickoff events. We see each other socially at times. I mean, but we don't do decision making or anything like that. And I don't do that in my private meetings either. I mean, we're not making decisions. We're, you know, it's discussions. But I don't come to conclusions. So I have never had a problem with these.
Okay.
If it turns out that what we're doing is improper, then, you know, of course I'd stop doing it.
It may be. That's the point. Have you ever had, I just covered that one already. Have you been provided with legal guidance about these private meetings to indicate they were appropriate, safe in the city attorney's office? I know that you have to watch the online video, you know, from the AG's office, required annual training, you get your certification and all that stuff. But does the city itself ever provide you any guidance and specifically anything that addresses these private meetings?
I'm sure that I got sort of an orientation at the beginning.
Got what?
Some kind of an orientation at the beginning.
Briefing.
A briefing.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And I'm certainly aware of what, of what constitutes making decisions or doing the city's business in outside of the view of the public. But again, a one-on-one with a colleague, especially like I said, I don't do things that are related to my committees with colleagues. So I might engage in a conversation with Lee Leffingwell about mental health issues, for instance. and come up and brainstorm ideas about maybe we should be looking at this or that related to how we might expand the funding available for something in that world. But I would be less inclined to do that with Laura because the two of us would constitute a quorum.
Right, right. Okay.
So again, I'm sensitive to it. I don't do certain things with certain, you know, but the weekly one-on-ones are really touch base. How are the wife and the kids? What, you know, what's on the agenda that's giving you heartburn? You know, tell me, who have you talked to this week that you think I need to make sure to talk to about XYZ issue? Is there something I might read that you think I should? Or are there, you know, I mean, and even if I were to give some suggestion about how I'm leaning towards voting, it's still not a vote until I take it in public. So even thinking about what you asked earlier, I don't see it as a problem. But if you can find that it turns out that it is, then...
Well, so to get back
The orchestration question, which is really where you're going there about everything's decided, I think the public really ought to be paying attention. And in your story, I hope that you'll talk about all the things that lead up to it, because every item has recommendations by the boards and commissions. It also talks about whether it's been to a particular committee. There are usually task forces and staff, internal committees that have vetted something, and we've been maybe briefed individually on that. But when we get briefed on items, and I really do have to go after this, when we get briefed on items, a lot of times I appreciate it when schedules situation works out, and two of us are in the room instead of one of us, because again, somebody will, we know we can't have a quorum, but when we're, but having another colleague in the room who has different experience than me, she asks better questions, than I might think to. So I always appreciate any opportunity that I have.
I understand.
That's helpful. So today, okay. I'm going to be meeting with some people from LifeWorks to talk about a project that they're working on, and the fact that Cheryl Cole asked, can she join the meeting, is great with me, because it just means that she'll think of questions I might not have otherwise thought of. Hopefully we'll get more information as a result of us both being there. No business is taking place. They're briefing us. That's a good thing. I mean,
all right.
Yeah. Anyway, that's
okay.
Okay, so that's what I know. Anything else?
When
are you writing your story?
So apparently, I was going to ask this question. I think I almost stated emphatically, you have not considered these one-on-one meetings might violate the Open Meetings Act. No one's told you that. You inherited a process. No. You've just been doing it. This is my understanding. Okay. That's all I have. You have anything else you want to say about all this? I think you've covered the bases well.
Okay. Well, good. Glad to do it. I'm glad to help you out. Good luck with your story.